You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
Good morning to you, Antonio Prescott. Welcome to Freedom. Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you, DV.
Good morning. I apologize. I'm not seeing something here, but I will explain that to you off-air what transpired. Sure. All right. With that being said, we are getting into the conversation this morning, our car care segment, and we talked about buying cars. Now we're talking about how one can sell a used car. And Antonio is here to guide us through, so let's get straight into it as we have limited time. How do we go about selling cars, Antonio?
Yes, that's a great question, Davey. And how you go about selling cars is that you need to be honest with yourself, because as a customer, you don't want to sell someone something that you don't want. You know, so firstly, I would say that the interior of the vehicle is something that you not necessarily want to tackle first, but it's just something I'll mention in terms of the inside of the cleaning of it. You know, fix small issues like the light scratches, remove personal items, and get that basic service check. So when we think about selling a vehicle, what we think about? We are thinking about trying to clean that vehicle to really increase that perceived price, at least, let's say, realistically, 10 to 20%. So I would say high quality photos. That's one thing. You need to have a good camera. Sometimes the vehicle is in good condition, but if the camera quality is not good, Davey, then after it defeats the purpose. So we're looking at, we're thinking like a buyer. What a buyer would really want in a vehicle. A buyer would look at the condition of the vehicle, obviously the mileage, the year. So key features that I think will help boost a vehicle is like as simple as the reverse camera, making sure that AC works. Because some people, they view with new vehicles, they don't know how to really park properly, reverse. They need that reverse camera. So that could be an additional help in order to increase the perceived value of the vehicle.
But didn't we discuss that it doesn't matter what enhancements you put on a car, it doesn't take away the actual market value price on that vehicle, because you could take a Ford Cortina and put reverse cameras and all kind of thing on it, but it does not increase the market value of the car.
It could increase the perceived value. So psychologically, some people will be like, okay, I realize, Davey, in terms of what you are saying is true, that will be like more customization, you know. But when we think about like a reverse camera, yes, somebody could put it in. But when we think about like a buyer, like a woman who looking at the interior of a vehicle, looking at one or two features, it may not increase the value to the extent that you want it to be, but it helps a customer make that appropriate buying decision. Especially a female who looking at safety features.
Okay.
So also, most importantly, listing in the right marketplaces. Like someone reached out to me and said they were trying to sell a vehicle and they're not getting it sold. So I was like, you check Facebook marketplaces, you post up on different WhatsApp groups, you contact car dealers, but what about Pin.tt? Because I tried to sell a vehicle and it was taking a bit long to sell. And as I posted on Pin.tt, within a week, it sold. So knowing about the different places to actually place the vehicle is so important. I would even say that definitely you have to check your suspension of the vehicle. You have to check your oil, transmission fluid, any leaks, because once it is that someone coming to purchase a vehicle and they maybe bring a mechanic, they would want to see that when the vehicle moves, that no oil leaks, anything like that. And nobody wants to see an engine that is clean, but then after you seeing an oil leak, you seeing some sort of fluid is on the ground. So that's most important when it is that you're selling a vehicle, because imagine purchase a vehicle and 2 days after you seeing oil dripping from the body of the car. So I think that's something most important. And next thing, when you're selling a vehicle, it's all about obtaining a receipt, you know, a preferred bank transfer, or I would say a manager's check. Some people these days, they want to accept cash. But then after, when it is that someone brings cash or you bring cash and you will realize that something could happen negatively. I remember a time, Davey, I'm not sure if you remember that in Barataria, where some guys, they went to purchase a vehicle, and when it is that they drive down to the end, it was at that end, and they took the vehicle and they went. So you have to know exactly to where you're meeting persons when it is that you are selling a vehicle. I think it's preferred to meet in public places like malls, maybe like by a police station per se. So simple things like this people take for granted. So as well too, what we think about, we sell the outcome. That is most important, right? So it's all about that peace of mind. So I would look at the body of the vehicle, the before and after, making sure that you clean the vehicle at least. Sometimes a vehicle might be in real good condition, but if the vehicle is very dirty, that perceived value of the vehicle tends to drop. You know, that's the psychological part of it. So other than that, I would say you focus on, obviously, inspection. That's most important, because no one wants to purchase a vehicle and the vehicle hasn't been inspected. Checking the tires to make sure the tires are not smooth and so forth. So that's some of the things that I would mention about how to prepare yourself selling a used vehicle. It have more detail though.
Well, let's go into those details. We still have a little time with us here this morning. You know, mm-hmm. You mentioned the cleaning of the vehicle, the perception. You know, I see the vehicle is looking in immaculate condition. It's clean. The headlight, if you have a burst up seat, you get that upholstered. You know, you do things to make the vehicle attractive to the buyer.
And as you mentioned, like a burst seat, I went to an inspection station and a guy, he failed because his driver's seat had a tear on it.
He failed inspection because the driver's seat had a tear? That is nonsense.
Yeah. I could not believe it myself. So it seems to me that inspection stations, they are doing their own thing.
We had to do we had to figure out what the inspection looking for. You can't tell me you fail me because my seat burst.
Yeah, correct.
Nah, that doesn't make sense. Something about that not making sense.
I cannot believe that. I told the guy, I said, better you had actually just take some needle and thread and just try to swap the seat and come back and say that, you know, you fix it, because for him now to go and purchase one seat, that is very unlikely. He would have to purchase a set of seats. So that's a cost factor there.
I think that is nonsense. He could have gone to another station. I know the only station that authorized to inspect vehicles. The vehicle inspection and car worthiness has nothing to do if your seat have a tear.
Understood. Yeah.
That has to do with the suspension, your tires, your lights, your wipers, the body and infrastructure and hardware of the vehicle is in good order. It didn't fall apart and all these things. You know, but your seat, you have a tear on your seat, and that car is not road worthy because of it. Mm-mm. Something is not sunk into right in my ear. And that person should have gone to another station. Because you had to buy no seats, just go to another station. And
but basically, that $300 would be wasted there by that particular station.
You're paying when you reach to inspect the vehicle, before you pay the money, they will let you know.
Well, he paid. No, he did the opposite.
They can't start the inspection before. You can't pay them before they start inspecting. You pay them and then they come back and tell you you feel. From the time you reach, they just ask you questions. You have any oil leaks, thing. If you tell them the oil leaking, they say, well, here what? Go and sort of that and come back. You don't pay for that.
It have a particular station that I go close in, let's say, the east per se, like from Trinity to El Dorado, basically. Mm. And you need to pay, and then after you will go and drive up, and then they would inspect. And if you fail, well, you have, I think it's like what, 3 to 4 weeks to rectify the situation, but you must pay beforehand.
Something sounds weird. Hold on.
Every morning, if your vehicle seat and then burst up, or it have burst something on your seat, you could fail an inspection, because that is a ticketable offense. A licensed officer could give you a ticket for a burst seat in your vehicle. So I think we need to check back that.
A licensed officer could give you a ticket for your seat have a burst on your seat or a tear?
That's something I'm not too sure.
What are you talking about, pal? Then look at next section. He's saying both my vehicles have tear on the seats, on the driver's seats, and I still pass. Also, my pickup had a fading tear sign. I still pass with insurance. You know, that's what I'm telling you. Your seat burst and that nonsense. Good morning, guys. Even license officers. License office, you fail for seats? What are you saying?
I think so.
Hold on.
I think what you pay for is the inspection itself. So if you are fair inspection, do not pass some criteria, you could fail the inspection. Recently, I paid for an inspection, and there was a defect picked up. And what they did is they gave me a certificate confirming that the vehicle was inspected, and they gave me 6 weeks to address the issue and come back for my sticker. So if the police stopped me in the meantime, I could present the certificate to say that I am in the process of complying with the law. And I have inspected the vehicle, and they told me that I need to repair this one thing and come back with my sticker. So I think that's how it works.
Right, but you're not coming back and paying us that money again. Look at a person telling me a heavy-duty vehicle, if the vehicle seat has a tear, is a fail based on knowledge. I have never heard that. Failing me because my vehicle...
I saw it with my own eyes, and I could not believe that possible. I could not believe that.
Your vehicle.
And you can't purchase one seat. And then when you come now and you purchase one seat and the other seat's different, what they will say, they will fail you for that because it's not uniform?
Then what I'm trying to figure out, that just not sounding right in my ear now, boy. You know, something about that not sounding right. Perhaps the seat can make the driver uncomfortable at the wrong time and cause a distraction. Good morning, Davy. I stand to be corrected. Wasn't the son of Column Imbert? Okay. Check the inspection certificate, Davy. See if it's listed. I have an inspection certificate in my car. I will double check that.
Yeah, guys, morning. So, yes, you can fail for a tear on a seat. You can even fail if your bumper is a different color of your vehicle than your vehicle.
Yeah, well, we understand.
We know that.
Yeah, we know that.
We know that, but to fail for a tear, I never hear that. I had to check that, boy.
Yeah, Davy, I went to inspection station in Monroe Road, and my seat had a burst in it. I'm in my pickup van, and they could not do the inspection until I fixed that. I had was a whole shady, the whole front seat, because down to the seat covering and all too, they didn't want that. So different inspection station, I guess, and have different rules, but at the end of the day, I feel anytime you can get a license officer on your program so we can rectify these small issues. Thanks.
So, Davy, what I want to say is that it has seat covers that are very thick, the material, right? And if it is you have seat covers on your seats and they fail you for that, I find that part ridiculous because you are covering that tear in the seat.
I don't know. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, but you see, covering it and securing it is two different things. You see, the seat has a piece of metal, springs, and because how the seat is sewn in a particular position to prevent that from coming out and puncturing you as the driver, in case of something, that is why they just fail, especially a taxi. That is not a law today, no, Davy. You see, colored number, colored bumper, that is a thing I have a problem with, because here we go on. It's only just recently motor vehicles started to come with everything is one color. Long ago, when they now started with plastic, most of them come in black, and the car come in one color. Locally, we started paint everything in one. Then all of a sudden, when you look at it, ask yourself why a foreign used car has come in such a good condition compared to how we just maintain vehicles in Trinidad. Why do we buy foreign used cars? Because of how the standard of the people out there have to maintain your car. That's how we had to go every year in Trinidad. We go for inspection. We had to go every year for inspection in Japan. You know? But check a five-year-old car in Japan compared to a man driving that same five-year-old car in Trinidad. We go. It's how we drive, Davy, and how we maintain what we maintain. If we want to, why does we can't send in we car from here to down up the islands as used cars? Ever ask yourself why? We just get new brand fire truck, Mercedes Benz, we just mash them up. expensive police cars, we'll mash them up. It's how we take care of things as citizens, Davey. If you can't take care of your own, and I get an expensive one to drive as the government, think you'll take care of it? I go blame the management for that. Hey, Davey, when I call the police station and the police vehicle mash up, and they have a broken taillight and they're driving out the bumper hanging out, who I go blame, the corporal, sergeant, or the man who's in charge of driving the vehicle? If I park horse to he, you see the accident with the man with the van that run up the road and killed the next man? I want to know if that vehicle was that a vehicle that they raised. There was no attempt to stop there, no, Davey. Observe that? The young man lost total control.
I agree with where your point is. All right. Okay.
And they're calling for median across the highway. But when I bounce it down, here what has happened. When I bounce it down, the ambulance come and pick me up. No cost.
Right.
Drop me in the hospital. Fix my brake.
I don't know where you're going with that now, boy. Sorry.
I mean, if the purpose of inspection...
I want to say something, right?
If the purpose of inspection is to make sure your vehicle is roadworthy and safe, there are some things that shouldn't be in the criteria. Like, I don't see if my seat have a tear that compromises the safety of the vehicle. Somebody got to explain them how that works. I also don't see how... Perhaps I paint over the vehicle and I didn't register the change of color, that makes the vehicle unsafe. I really don't see why that is part of an inspection. But, you know, maybe as you said, they should bring a licensing officer in and let's have a conversation and let's hear how some of these things really compromise the safety of our vehicle, so much so that it makes you unable to pass an inspection.
Yeah, Antonio. Finally.
Yeah. What I wanted to say is that with the seat covers of today, it has some seat covers, it's like it better than the actual seat itself in terms of...
Yeah, with the padding and everything, you're right.
Right. So with that being said, now the previous caller mentioned about the metal projecting, and I purchased some seat covers and I had the metal projecting, but with that thick seat cover, it's not feeling any way like hitting my back.
I agree.
So it have material now that... We modernize, we're not traditional again. So I don't understand how it is that a tear seat you get in feel, and then after if you put seat covers, you get in feel because it's not an actual new seat. So I think this is a good message for licensing officers here to really retract their statement and change things though, because we're not living back in the 70s or the 80s. We
go check
things for these nonsense
right now. I go check.
Davey, one more thing. If you feel his seat was a problem, don't get a dashboard. If it has a dashboard, there any cuts hanging on it at all too. You get failed for that at all too. And it's a ticketable offense from a licensed officer.
I never see them things on the ticketable offense list. Anyhow, we got to leave it there for now on our car care segment. Thank you very much, Antonio, for your patience this morning.
You're most welcome.
And we'll continue with the rumble in the next hour. Have a good one, Antonio.
Okay, thanks. Same to you.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.